Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word of life. So you're welcome to another episode on the Everyday with Jesus broadcast. We've been studying on forgiveness of sins, remission of sins. This is episode 33 of, you know, the podcast so far. And then we've been seeing forgiveness of sins in the past few weeks. And then yesterday we started examining or studying Romans chapter 6. Free from sin, or freed from sin. Hallelujah. Freed from sin. What does it mean to be free from sin? And then we started from verse 1, explaining what Paul meant by saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And that Paul was not saying that, see, if we continue in sin, God will not be able to take it, or God will not tolerate it. That's not what he was saying. Of course, we are not expected to make a practice of sin, but Paul is not saying that we can just continue in sin anyhow. In fact, the word continue there is the word that means to tarry in, to abide in something. And then verse 2 says, certainly not, God forbid. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? That is, we can't dwell in sin. We can't tarry in sin because we've been delivered from it. We've been separated from it. We've been delivered from it. We died to sin. And then I walked us through scriptures yesterday to see how that every time, or most times rather, the phrase, God forbid, or certainly not, is used in the letters of Paul. It is used to express or to connote things that are impossible. That is, when Bible says God forbid, it's in essence saying it is impossible. Hallelujah, because God made it so. God made it impossible because he made us dead to sin. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time we were dead to righteousness. We couldn't bear fruit unto God. We were dead to righteousness. We were dead to God. So in the same way today, we have been made dead to sin. And the same way we could not bear fruit unto God, God has made it impossible for us to dwell in sins. God has made it impossible for us to dwell in rebellion, dwell in unbelief, because he made us dead to sin. Hallelujah. What is the greatest hindrance today? Or what is the greatest challenge or the problem of the Christian today? The greatest challenge you face as a believer today will be in the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. The only reason why a man will find himself, you know, living in old habits, living in the same lust of the flesh that he once lived in while he was in the flesh, will be because his mind is unrenewed. Bible says in Romans 12 verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. By the renewing of your mind. So it shows you that if we renew our minds, then we will live according to how we ought to live as Christians today. The transformation that has taken place on the inside will find expression on the outside if we begin to renew our mind. Note how Bible says by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. It is not a one-time achievement. You don't say, well, I've renewed my own mind. There's no such thing. As long as you're on the face of the earth, you would have to continually and constantly renew your mind with the truth of the word of God. Amen. So, Romans chapter 6 verse 1 to 2 is showing us what God did in Christ Jesus. It is not so much about what we are to struggle to do, that we should try to not continue in sin. No, it is that God made it impossible. God already did something that makes it impossible to continue in sin. Glory be to Jesus. So this is well explained yesterday. And then Bible says in verse 3, it says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into his death, were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? This is speaking about identification. That is, we were united with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. We were united. There's a union. We've connected with the work of the cross by our faith in him. We've identified with the work of Jesus by our faith in him. We've identified with the work of redemption. Glory be to Jesus. So we are considered to have been identified with his death. Hallelujah. And this is very important. Just pay attention. We've been united with his death. That word baptized is the word baptizo in the Greek, which means to immerse into something. So it means we were included in Jesus' death. On the cross of Calvary, people saw Jesus alone on the cross. But spiritually, by identification with him, by faith, Bible says we were baptized in his death. We were crucified with him. Hallelujah. Now, you know, Bible says in verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We were buried with him through baptism. That word baptism is also from the root word that we just saw. It's from baptizo. That's the root word for baptism. Baptizo is the verb, and baptism, as used there, is from the word baptisma, which is the noun. It also means the same thing, immersion. We were immersed into Jesus' death. It says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, The renewal of life here is not, or the newness of life rather, in this place, is not about a change of lifestyle first. It's about the new life that came our way in Christ Jesus. That's why the word newness there is the word that also means renewal, the renewal of life. Hallelujah. So we have a renewal of life. We must now renew our minds to walk in this new life. Glory be to Jesus. Now look at how the newness of life came. He says we were buried with him through baptism. We were united with Jesus in his death, and we were raised with him to a new life. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. So look at this now. At verse, you see again how that the emphasis is on a change of status. Look at verse 5 to verse 6. A change of status. You know, we said that our verses, which deals with remission of sins, is about a change of status, where in the which the man is released from bondage to sin, is released from the old life. Hallelujah. So this is the same thing being emphasized in Romans chapter 6. Newness of life. A change of status, a change of life. Hallelujah. A change of life. There's an emphasis on the change of the man's status. Look at verse 5 to verse 6. Bible says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Have you seen again? There's a change. The old man was crucified, the body of sin is done away with, is destroyed, so that we should no longer serve and walk in slavery to sin. Glory be to Jesus. There's a change. Now look at this now. When Bible says, you know, this is still about identification, united in his death and resurrection. Now when Bible says we were united in his death, what is the death of Jesus about? What exactly is the death of Jesus for? Look at Romans chapter 4 verse 25. Bible says, Romans 4:25, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So Jesus was delivered for offenses. So he died for sins. Hallelujah. He was delivered for offenses. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Bible says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So Jesus died for the ungodly. He died for ungodliness. Hallelujah. He died for sin. He died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us while we were still sinners. So that means he died for our sins. Hallelujah. He died as a sinner. He died the sinner's death. So Jesus died for sin. The death of Jesus is for sin. Glory be to Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 to 4. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 to 4. Bible says, I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was, so Jesus died for sins. He was seen by the 12 and then the rest like that. So Jesus died for sins. The death of Jesus is for sins. Now, what this means, the implication of this is that the death of Jesus is the judgment and condemnation for sin. Hallelujah. He died for sin would mean he was condemned for sin. He was judged for sin. So Jesus' death for sin is judgment for sin. When you see the word death, he died for sin. The phrase died for sin. Jesus died for our sins. He died for our sins. He was dead to sin. All this refer to Jesus taking the judgment for the world. Hallelujah. Jesus being judged for the sin of the world. His death is judgment. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Look at Romans chapter 8 verse 3. Romans 8 verse 3. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 8 verse 3. His death is judgment for sin. Judgment for sin. Romans chapter 8. Let me even read from verse 1. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 8 from verse 1. Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. What did he do? He condemned sin in the flesh. Bible says God condemned sin in the flesh. He judged sin in the flesh of the Son. Hallelujah. He judged sin in Christ Jesus. Sin was condemned and judged in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So his death is judgment for sin. Look at what Jesus himself says at John chapter 12. John 12, 31 to 33. Glory be to God. John chapter 12, verse 31 to 33. Hallelujah. John 12, 31 to 33. Very powerful truth. Glory to God. Look at this. Bible says, from verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all to myself. Verse 33, this is said, signifying by what death he will die. So when he says in verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Hallelujah. What is the judgment of this world? His own death for the sin of the world. Praise God. Jesus' death is judgment. So when Bible says we were united together in his death, it means we were united in the judgment for sin. We were united in the judgment for sin. That means we were judged in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If Jesus' death is judgment for sin, that means when Bible says we were united in this death, it means we were judged in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We received the judgment for sin in Christ Jesus. We were judged together with Christ. Glory be to Jesus. It's called identification. We were identified with that judgment. It is judgment for our sin. So we were united in that judgment. Glory be to God. By our faith in him. Look at Isaiah 53 verse 5 to 6. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 to 6. United with him in his death. Isaiah 53 verse 5 to 6. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Look at Isaiah 53 verse 5 to 6. I'll read. Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Have you seen that's judgment? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. So I said to you that the death of Jesus for sin is judgment for sin. Whenever you think about the death of Christ, you should think judgment. Hallelujah. It is judgment. Jesus didn't die. He didn't die of sickness. He didn't die because he was old. He didn't die because he didn't die because he was just a mortal man. He died. His death is death for sin. His death has a reason. His death is judgment. Hallelujah. His death is judgment for sin. So our union in this death is union in judgment. That means we were judged together with Jesus. Hallelujah. We have been judged in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 53 verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Have you seen? By his stripes we were healed. And we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus bore our sins, he bore our iniquity, and he bore our judgment. So our identification with this is identification with judgment for sin. In the which God reckons that we have been judged for our sins once for all in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We've been judged for our sins once for all in Christ Jesus. As many as identify with the work of Christ is considered to have been judged for his sins. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So when Bible says by his stripes we are healed, it's talking in the context of healing for our souls. Hallelujah. Healing for our souls. It's not talking about bodily healing. It's talking about healing that is making us whole again. You know, Jesus says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Healing is not always in reference or in relation to the body. There's healing for our souls in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we have been healed in our souls. We've been healed in our hearts. Hallelujah. We've been revived and brought alive to God. So the death of Jesus for sin is judgment for sin. Don't forget this. It is judgment for sin. That's what Paul is teaching at Romans chapter 6. So that means this judgment for sin results in justification. It results in freedom from sin. If a man has been judged for his sins, he cannot be judged again. From that point in time, he has become freed from the penalty of sin. Hallelujah. Of course, it's figurative because you and I did not die in actual sense. We didn't die for sin. We were not judged for sin in actual sense. It's in identification with Jesus. Bible reckons that we are dead to sin. Bible reckons that we have been judged for sin. Bible reckons that you and I have taken the judgment that was due us in Christ Jesus. So it's in identification with him by faith. Because it took our place, God considers us to have died. Hallelujah. God considered us to have been judged for sin because Jesus himself was judged for our sins. Hallelujah. He was judged for our sins. And this is good news. Hallelujah. This is good news. So the judgment for sin resulted in justification. Freedom from the guilt and the penalty of sin. Freedom from the power of sin itself. Hallelujah. Now, that's why Jesus says in John chapter 5, look at John chapter 5, at John 5, 24, look at what Jesus says. Because we have been judged for sin in Christ Jesus, Jesus makes a very remarkable statement at John chapter 5, verse 24. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. He who believes in me, because believing in Jesus is identifying with the work of redemption. Believing in Jesus is identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection. Believing in Jesus is to be included as it is in the work of Jesus, is to be included in his death for sin and his justification for life. Hallelujah. So he that believes in me shall not come into condemnation, shall not come into judgment. There are different kinds of judgment. There will be judgment for our works, judgment of rewards. There's judgment which is condemnation for the sin of the world. This is the one Jesus is talking about here. The man that believes will not come into judgment. Why? Because he came into judgment in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. When Bible says, you know, Bible says in John 12, when Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world, that's what he's talking about. The man that believes in Jesus is reckoned to have been judged for his sins. Hallelujah. Is reckoned to have taken upon himself the condemnation that is due him, albeit it was Jesus that took it on his behalf. But his faith is identification with that work. Let me illustrate this in simple terms. Let's assume that you were owing somebody. You were owing somebody, maybe your landlord, or you were owing, a bank, an institution, a financial institution. You were owing, and then you didn't have money to pay. You were bankrupt, you were broke, and then you didn't have anything to pay. Then somebody shows up on your behalf and says, and offers to pay for you. Do you know that the moment the person pays this price, this debt of yours, rather, the moment the person pays this debt of yours, you are delivered, you are set free from an obligation to pay. Why? Because somebody has paid on your behalf. From that point in time, your debt is written off. Hallelujah. It is written off because, not written off as in bad debt. It's written away because you already paid. Somebody already, though you are not the one that paid, but it is taken and considered as you paying. Why? Because the payment was done in your name. Hallelujah. So when Jesus died for our sins, in the sight of God, we died for our sins. Hallelujah. In the sight of God, we died for our sins. When Jesus was judged for the sin of the world, in the sight of God, everybody that recognizes and identifies with this work is considered to have been judged for his sins in Christ Jesus. Why? Because his death was for our sins. The payment was done in our names. Hallelujah. So in the sight of God, the man that believes is considered to have been judged for his sins. This is the reason why he won't come into condemnation again. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, he took upon himself the condemnation once. Hallelujah. So, most assuredly, I say to you, who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into what? Into life. Hallelujah. I mean, and this is the same thing Jesus says at John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The reason why whosoever believes in him will not perish is because believing is identification with the work of redemption. Believing is identification with his death, identification with his burial, identification with his resurrection, in the which we are considered to have died for sin, we are considered to have been judged for our sins. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17. It says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God did not send his son to condemn the world. He sent his son to take upon himself the condemnation of the world. Hallelujah. So that the man that is found in him is considered to have been judged for his sins. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. Look at John chapter 3 verse 36. Hallelujah. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Have you seen? The man that believes is delivered from condemnation. Hallelujah. Shall not come into judgment. Shall not come into judgment. Is delivered from condemnation. Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, Bible now says, we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, this is not a condition. You don't say, oh, there's no condemnation for you if you don't walk in the flesh, as per living the new life, or walking in newness of life, or walking in the new, walking anew, walking afresh, putting on a new lifestyle. That's not what he's teaching here. In fact, walk after the flesh and to walk after the Spirit has been explained at chapter 7 of Romans. Chapter 7 of Romans. And we're going to see this carefully tomorrow. So walking after the flesh is depending on the law of Moses, relying on the law. Walking after the Spirit is relying on the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why verse 2, look at verse 2 of Romans 8. Walking after the Spirit is having faith in the work of Christ. That's why verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life. So he says, we walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The law of the Spirit setting us free from the law of sin and death. That's what it means to walk after the Spirit. To rely on the work of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. To have faith in the work of Christ. Hallelujah. To stop trusting in your meritorious performances. To stop trusting in the law. To stop relying on the law. Bible says in Romans chapter 3 verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Hallelujah. So to walk after the Spirit is to rely on the work of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why it goes to verse 3 and it says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Have you seen again the word flesh is mentioned? So to walk after the flesh is to rely on the law of Moses. And the law of Moses was incapacitated, was impotent to do something. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. To walk after the flesh is to rely on the law which could not condemn sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. Is to rely on the law which was weak through the flesh. To walk after the Spirit is to rely on the Spirit of Christ, is to rely on the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes free from the law of sin and death. Is to have faith in Christ for justification. Hallelujah. To be delivered from the condemnation that passed upon all men in Adam. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So look at this now. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 21. The death of Jesus for sin is judgment for sin. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21, as I begin to close. Hallelujah. I'm closing early today also because I have an appointment to catch up with again. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 to 21. Glory to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21. I'll read. Bible says, for the love of Christ compels us because we judged us that if one died for all, then all died. Have you seen? All died in one. All died in one. We were united with his death. We were united in his burial and resurrection. If one died, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Have you seen? There's a change of status. We were dead with him. We were buried with him. Hallelujah. We died with him. We were buried with him. We were raised again to a new life. So if anyone is in Christ Jesus, if anyone died with Christ, if anyone rose again with Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So you see how being judged with Christ, you see how dying together with him results again in justification of life. Results in what? Justification of life. So Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Again, emphasis is on a change of status. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 7 again. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 7 again. Hallelujah. Romans 6, 5 to 7. Praise God. Bible says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. The word freed there is the word that means to justify. That's the word translated justified, justify, and justifies, 37 times. So the freedom here is justification. I will consider this more. Now observe how the justification came. It is not by telling you to go and sin no more. It is not just by delivering, setting you free from offenses or, pardoning your wrongs. No, this justification came by what happened by what is explained at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. So the body of sin was destroyed. That's what resulted into justification. Hallelujah. And we're going to see this more tomorrow in the episode or in the teaching tomorrow. Glory be to God. Do good to invite somebody. Tune in tomorrow. Share it on your status. Invite somebody. Talk about it. Glory to Jesus. And let's come together again to have a great time in the Word of God. Do have a great day being full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word, full of prayers, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.